I kind of have an inside scoop already. I know some of the stories that you will be hearing this afternoon, and they're very exciting. It's so exciting to know that just a very small group of people can make such an impact in so many different parts of the world. Some of the stories that we'll be hearing this afternoon are local stories, and some go further away. And so I won't share those secrets. They'll unfold. But for me, God has given me a fire in my belly for the Ukraine. For quite a number of years, I had a desire to go to Ukraine, and I never thought that it would happen. And last year, I had my first opportunity. I was there a year ago. And I am also one of the team members that's going to be going this fall again. There are 9 of us on the team. We have some lovely brochures that were designed by one of the women on the team. So that's the 9 that are going. But there are actually 2 teams. There are 2 teams, I think, for everything. There's a team that's going, and there's a team that's staying. And you know what? The team that's staying is no less important than the ones that are going. And I really mean that. Because the team that's going can't go unless they're supported by somebody somewhere. And the most important part of that is prayer. And I'm going to tell you a little story, which is, I think, is one of the reasons that I have such a yearning for the people in Ukraine to receive the good news. And it is a story about prayer. Many years ago, we've all heard of Stalin, I think, he had a 5-year plan. His plan was to get God out of the country in 5 years. Well, he did a lot of damage in that area. But in 2 Chronicles, there's a verse that says, 2 Chronicles chapter 25, the last part of a verse that says, "For God has the power to help and to overthrow." And so I'm wondering, are we going to Ukraine to overthrow the damage that people like Stalin had? So I want to share a little story with you. It happened in a little village, a little Mennonite village called Eichenfeld. It's only about 3/4 of an hour from where we're working. A few hundred people in the village, in just a tiny village. And something happened there on one day almost 90 years ago. It was October the 26th, 1919. There was a family by the name of Heinrichs. They were in the yard that day, doing their chores, preparing for the winter. It was a fall day. And from out of nowhere, a band of very angry men rode into their farmyard. Mr. Heinrichs, who was in the middle of the yard by the well, when these people approached him, he knew in his heart that he would not live to see October 27th. So he looked at these very angry men, and he said to them, "Can I make one request before I die?" And you know what? Surprisingly, they granted that request. He said, "I'd like to pray." He knelt down right by the well where he'd been standing, and he prayed a 2-fold prayer. He prayed for protection on his family, his wife, and the 8 children that were watching. He also prayed for the men that were going to be killing him. Then he stood up from his prayer, and that was the end of his life. The family, as was the custom in those days, carried him into their home and laid him on the dining room table. And then they went and hid because they were very afraid that when the angry men, the bandits, left, they might return in a few hours. And they were right. A few hours later, they came back. They opened the door of the home. They saw the body. And they were out of there. They could kill, but they couldn't go into a home where there was a body. They were too superstitious for that. So that family was saved that day. Over 80 other people lost their lives that day, including all the young men over the age of 15 or 16. And so that prayer, the first part of his prayer, was answered immediately. The family was saved. The second part of the prayer, is that one of the reasons that we're going to Ukraine? Did that prayer have such an effect that possibly are we working with the descendants of that man? I don't know. I don't know. And we may not know till we get to heaven the power that that prayer had. One thing I do know is that I have a desire to go, and I just pray that you would pray that we would be as effectively as humanly possible, and that God would equip us to do the work that we want to do. It's orphan and widow care that we do primarily in the Nicopol area. This is a very poor area, especially hard hit by the collapse of the Soviet Union. Many widows as a result of the Chernobyl cleanup and also alcoholism. So that is the gist of why we're there. There's some lovely little brochures here that you can pick up. Just ask you, when you've used the information that you want to use out of here, you don't need it anymore, could you pass it on to someone else? Just so that we spread the news and also maximize the use of these brochures. Okay? So, that's the part of it. Did you want to show the little video now? Okay.
Hi, I'm Jason Allen, shipper here at Canagra Exports in Winkler, Manitoba, Canada. And I'm standing here beside a small 1010 Massey tractor that we are going to ship to the Ukraine for the benefit of an orphanage over there. When Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, he used a lad and his small lunch. And when Jesus was wanting to teach offshore, it says he requested the use of a small ship. The widow's one piece of money and a cup of cold water were gifts that Jesus considered to be great gifts. In the past, it seems like great devotion was used by God more than great gifts. And it's not so much just to tell you the story of how this little tractor was purchased and shipped to the Ukraine in the past, but to encourage you to participate in the future and to do some small thing for God, that Glenn would like to tell you this story.
Hi, guys. Here's a little Massey Ferguson tractor, a Japanese-built three-cylinder diesel. It's got about 1,200 hours on it, hydrostatic transmission. It's been completely serviced and ready for use. It's a real good piece of equipment that'll last probably for 10 years or more if it's cared for. When Sheila and myself were in the Ukraine about 2 months ago to visit an orphanage that my sister Ruth had been at about a year previously, they mentioned the need for a small tractor with some kind of a cultivator. In this case, it's going to be a tiller. That's the optimum piece of equipment for preparing gardens. They needed a machine to prepare gardens so that the widows of the community who support the orphanage with pickles and vegetables, that they'd have an easier time producing the crops, which they would pay for the use of the machine, plus give gifts in kind to support the orphanage. So there's a good possibility this little tractor can do a lot of good in bringing in some income to the orphanage. More than that, though, I think what's really important to know is, as we learned at the orphanage, a lot of the needs, or I should say most of the needs, are met in a different way. When Ruth was there a year ago and came back somewhat distraught because of the poverty in the orphanage and thinking of ways that they could help them, her and the 12 ladies that traveled to the Ukraine, they must have spent a lot of time in prayer, because when Sheila and me were there a year after the ladies were there, we found that so many things had been addressed that they had been concerned about. Actually, all of the things that they were concerned about had been addressed. And it sure became obvious it's through the power of prayer. So if you want to participate in this tractor project, fantastic. If you don't have the cash right now, not to worry. Prayer is more important than anything.
Your heart of mercy beats with love's strong current. Let your river flow.
by your spirit now, Lord, we cry. Let your mercy fall from heaven. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. The new mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray. Let your mercies fall from heaven, Lord. Sweet mercies flow from heaven. The new mercies for today. Shower them down, Lord, as we pray.
When Ruth went out last to see her mom and her brother, the day before she left, Naomi came home from an open door event with Andy's church there, and she's saying how one of the ladies, her car broken down on the way to the event. So, and she really needs this. This is her only way of getting her kids to school. It's her only way to get herself to work and herself to school. So, life revolves around a car as a single mom. The next day, Ruth, she and Naomi prayed about it, and Ruth left for Manitoba the next day. A week later, she and her mom went for dinner with her brother and his wife and family, and she's telling the story about Olga and how Olga's teaching her Russian for her trip, and her brother says, let me make a call. Calls up a guy, hey, Glenn, we need a car for a lady in North Van. All right? A little while later, calls back, I got a car. And it's on its way. Thursday morning, it'll be arriving it's leaving Thursday. Saturday morning, it arrived. Tim drove pretty much solid, flat out, to deliver a car. And when he left, he told Sig, I'm on my way. I'm getting in the car. Pray every mile. Pray every mile that Olga will come to know Christ and to know his love for her. So Tim arrives Saturday morning, and they say, well, we're going to go pick up Olga, and we're going to give this to her right away. We'll have lunch. And before we can do that, I got to wash it. Washes this thing spick and span. And so that afternoon, Olga came over for lunch and receives this car and was blown away by how someone would, for one thing, drive it out from Manitoba and just love her up and give her such an amazing gift of this nature. 2 weeks later, Tim called, asked Ruth, so how's Olga? Is she a Christian yet? Does she know God yet? And Ruth responded, well, we're working on that. And said, well, give me your number, I'm calling her. So Tim calls Olga and spent some time on the phone with her. And before she knew it, she's accepting Christ into her life right there on the phone with Tim. And one of the things that was impacted me when Tim came out here, he was going to fly home Saturday afternoon after giving this car over. Then at lunch, I guess they shared the story of what Simple Church is, what our church is, and he said, nope, I'm going to stay, and I want to experience this. And that man has changed his life tremendously. He's come from a very shady background, from what he described it, and he is just so on fire for God. And so a few days after Tim called Olga, Ruth receives a package, a couple of Russian Bibles. Here you go. So Ruth has been working with Olga to learn the Bible and in her own language. It's opening up the Bible to her in a whole new way. So that's the story of this car and how the prayer and just, hey, let's communicate a need to someone and having a group of people that are willing to do anything just to, let's fill that need. So that's something we can do. And we did do. We took part in that just through prayer and through a little bit of financial support. Simple Church has helped to get that car certified and ready to go for Vancouver. There you go.
Taryn is in China right now working with an organization called ICC. Most of you know it. International China Concern. And it's a Christian organization that works with abandoned and orphaned children, most of who are disabled in China. and she sends an update. Because of the work, because it's Christian work in China, it has to be reasonably covert, the Christian part of it. So even her emails have to be a little bit coded, how much she talks about God or using even using the word prayer could raise red flags. So she sends this update here. She's been gone about 2.5, 3 weeks, about 2 weeks at the time that this was written. My first few weeks here in China have gone pretty smoothly, for which I'm very thankful. I have settled into an apartment referred to by the staff as the guest house because where most of the short-term staff and volunteers stay while they are here. The majority of the ICC staff live in the same apartment complex and seem to get together quite often, so there is quite a great feeling of community. Last week was spent settling in and doing various things such as registering with the police and setting up a cell phone. Then last Saturday, the staff organized a mini-Olympics for the kids in Changsha and for some of the kids in ICC's other project down in Hanyang. Some of us took a missions trip there a few years ago, so we got to see some of these cities that she's talking about. Changsha is where ICC has been working for a number of years, so they have established group homes and all kinds of resources for kids there with disabilities. Hanyang is a city that they have just moved into very recently, so most of those kids that they work with there are still in state orphanages, which is not great, but ICC is, their long-term plan is to open up city by city, go into the state orphanages, and offer alternatives for that. So on Sunday, I joined the short-term team that I traveled to China with, and we took the kids from Hanyang to the aquarium in Changsha. I then traveled back to Hanyang with the team where I've spent the last week. It has been a really eye-opening experience to visit the Hanyang project for the first time. Since the project was only officially started in the spring of 2006, there is a huge difference when compared to the Changsha project. From the presentation that I saw back in the summer of 2005, the situation has greatly improved for the kids living in the Hanyang project. New housing has been built for the girls, and ICC is continuing to work on improving the housing for the boys. A small medical clinic has also been set up to deal with some of the medical needs of the children. Many of the children require medical attention, often surgery, when they are taken in, and it's been a real struggle to decide how to proceed because of the money and supplies required. A few of the staff are currently taking a baby up to Shanghai for treatment after it needed to be resuscitated. My heart breaks for these abandoned and orphaned children, but it's been comforting to know that the father loves them so much and to see that he has provided a place where they can be loved and cared for. I am so thankful to share in one of the burdens on God's heart through this experience and know that he will continue to reveal his heart to me in more tangible ways throughout the next 6 months. When I get back to Changsha next week, I will be looking at the various opportunities to assist the staff and decide how I will spend my time. Please pray that the right decisions are made and that I will be used in the best possible way within the Changsha project. Please also pray for my health as I have a cold. I will be praying for all of you as you meet and look forward to hearing from you periodically by email. Blessings, Taryn. So let's just spend a few minutes in prayer for Taryn and for the work with ICC. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this update. Right now we lift Taryn up to you. She's doing such good work over there, God. And we just pray for ICC as an organization. First of all, we hold them up. They are have an incredible vision for the children in China. And Lord, you have poured out your blessing on that organization. We pray that that continues. We pray for the workers there, the staff and the volunteers, and that your name is lifted, even if it can't be spoken. Your name is being lifted in that country. And your gospel is being played out day by day by the workers there. So, Lord, we lift that organization. Continue to bless them, God. And we pray for Taryn. We pray that she will have a sense of companionship and camaraderie with the other staff. We pray against any loneliness that may distract her. We pray for good health. God, keep her strong. And most of all, in the next week or two, we pray that they will find the exact right niche for her. She has so many gifts to give. And we just pray that she will be slotted into the exact right position where she can contribute to the fullest, God. We just lift her up, bless her, and Lord, just let her know that she is on our hearts and in our prayers. In your name, amen. So.
So I'm going to share a little bit about what the Vancouver Church is doing. We call our local leaven in Vancouver. What we've been doing with the money that and kind of time to do kind of missional community care in our community. I just want to share a tiny bit of a history and then a little bit of the fresh stuff. Our journey kind of started probably similar to a lot of the churches with kind of wanting to do something with the money that we had been given just before Christmas. And there was a strong sense on our heart that we really wanted it to be missional and relational. We always kind of said we want to spend our Saturdays with, along with the money that we're giving. And so we spent a few kind of nights praying about it, doing some prayer nights and some time at coffee shops just talking about what we envisioned and what we wanted to do as a church. And the theme of the orphan and the widow came up kind of continuously. So we pursued a few different options, and we're kind of nervously racking our brain as to which one to pick, and then doors just kind of closed, and there was one option left, so that made it nice for us. And that option was a program called Bridge 19, and it's through a bigger organization called SOS, and they do a lot of stuff overseas with children and orphanages, and this is their only program that actually that they have here. It's a non-Christian organization, and we actually kind of got connected to them through my sister's boss for this youth center that they work for, and his name's Vern, and he lives upstairs in this house. That's the program Bridge 19, and the downstairs of the house is for teen moms and their kids to live. So Vern came and shared with our church just a little bit about the idea of the house and what it looked like, and had it on his heart very much to have more of an extended support network for these girls, and for people to kind of mentor them and support them, as many of them don't really have families of their own to support them and that sort of support network. Vern and his partner live upstairs in the house, and then downstairs is a basement suite where the names of the girls are Katie, and she has a little boy named Damien, who's 3. And then there's also Jasmine, and she has a little boy named Talon, who's 1. And so our church went last weekend. This Sunday was our first time meeting them, and we just did a potluck at the girls' house. Yeah, we did a potluck at the girls' house just to meet them, and it was overall a really positive experience. There was definitely some awkward moments because it's like this big group of us, was almost our whole church of like 10 people, and there's like the 2 girls and their kids. So we had those awkward moments. But overall, I feel like it was a really positive experience, and for me, it really broke down a lot of the stereotypes that I have of teen moms, and it was really exciting just to see how we can get involved. Some of the things that are beginning to be fleshed out is for us to do just helping them with things like childcare. Like, they really expressed a need to have a break and for babysitting and that sort of stuff. So a group of us might do some, like, set nights a month. They want a night off, too, where they can go away maybe for a night or two. So that's an option. We have lots of handy people in our group, so they kind of did a little parole through the house, seeing what they could fix in the house. Anything from putting like motion sensor lights in to putting shelving in to make the house more accessible for the girls. So these are a lot of like the practical means that we hope to be able to get to know the moms in. We're still kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do. We've kind of plugged in a bit more relationally, but even we don't know what we're doing with our money yet. But that's kind of not a bad place to be in. And trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, one of the girls wants driving lessons, so we're seeing if we can pay for some driving lessons or get someone to try and teach her how to drive, because she was given a car, so she's really eager. One of the girls is quite open to help. The other girl is very shy, a lot more reserved. So I think it will be interesting for us to kind of figure out how as a community we can engage with them in somewhat of a natural way and how we can get involved in different ways, just to support them and have an extended support network for them. And as we kind of look back, it's cool to see that this theme of the orphan and widow that's obviously been really prominent throughout Simple Churches, but with these teen moms, because they're like youth themselves. Most of them are, they're 19 or 20, and they don't have their own family, or if they do, it's quite unstable, and then they have their own children of their own, and they've been phased out of care in terms of the ministry, so they don't get that financial support. Once they're 19, they're cut off, so they're on their own. And I can't imagine being a teenager and having a kid on my own. So, yeah, it's cool to see how we can get involved and support them. Is there any questions? Okay, that's it. You're welcome.
From Karen, who is in Macha, Zambia. She's there for a year working with the Mennonite Central Committee. And she sent this little update that I figured let's read it. We've got a little bit of time here. So see where it begins. Things are going really well here. A great friend of mine from Morden has come to visit me for the month of April. For the first bit, we are hanging out in Macha, but now I'm taking a holiday in Zanzibar for the next week. So life seems so great. Let's see. Life in Macha, work-wise. With a new test available to us, we've been able to find out many babies' HIV status as young as 6 weeks. I've been involved in encouraging the HIV-positive mothers to bring their babies in for testing. Of the 300-plus we've got registered, we've tested almost 100, with 5 testing positive so far. It's encouraging to see that so many of the babies are negative as a result of their mothers being willing to take antiretroviral medicine while pregnant. But it is always so sad to give results to a mother of those who are positive. Pray for courage and strength and miraculous healing for the mothers and babies in their long road ahead. Home-wise, my little group of friends continue to visit me on a more than daily basis, and I love it. This group of 6 to 12-year-olds welcomes me home every day, ready to chat, play a game, watch me cook, taste test the meal, or just hang out. Pray for health for them. Just last week, Christabel came down with the mumps, but has fully recovered. Friend-wise, there has continued to be a steady stream of visitors coming through Macha from all over the world in all walks of faith. I really love hearing other people's stories of what brings them to this hospital in the middle of Zambia. Pray that I can show them the hospitality you've all been talking about and make them feel home in such a foreign land. Community-wise, many of the families living in the area, just outside the hospital grounds, are actually squatting on mission property. For years, the mission has been struggling to reclaim the land. I'm not clear for what purpose they actually need the land, without success. After bringing this issue to the high courts, it has been ruled that indeed the people need to shift off the property. Many of these families have so little already and only know this as their home. Pray that there would be peace amongst the people, that they would be gracious, that there would be grace and understanding between the mission and the people, and that this would not be a reason for people to walk away from the church, but rather a strengthening in their faith. Thank you so much for the generous gift you forwarded. At Christmas time, we gave 2,200 to support Karen and the work that she's doing with the HIV children. And she writes here about this. Thank you so much for the generous gift you forwarded. MCC supports BIC Compassionate Ministries, which is a church-based program offering support to HIV-positive people. The leader of the program is a great guy, Jinwell Yuma, who has such a compassionate heart for the people in this community. One of the things we've been discussing is how to better support the pregnant women with HIV, as well as encouraging the husbands to become more involved in their prenatal care. They offer food supplements to improve nutrition of the women, as well as offer transport for the women to their prenatal appointments and to get them to the hospital for delivery. Thanks again for supporting this program. Love to all of you, my Simple Church family, Karen. So is that cool work? Yeah. Okay. So we have one more update.
I'll go back. This is from our prayer missionary.
There we see Alana on the bottom and Dana on the top, and they are working with Taronga House of Prayer in New Zealand. You can see the arrow pointing to where they are at. Actually, their parents have joined us today to see the little video here. So we have Alan and Francis Klatt. This is Alana's parents on my right, and Leanne and Peter Evanow on the left, and that's obviously Dana's parents. So I asked them to send me a little video of what they've been up to, which turned out to be very, very difficult. Unfortunately, the quality being sent over the internet is less than outstanding, but nonetheless, you hear the you hear their voices, and they sound great and they look great. So let's watch.
Well, it has been amazing to be back here. Such an awesome privilege. I've just loved every minute of it so far. Currently, we are meeting in Living Hope Church. They have graciously given us their sanctuary, and we're just really loving the space that they've given us to use. We're running about 44 hours worth of prayer meetings per week, which means 22 prayer meetings, which are 2 hours long. Each set is 2 hours long, and we meet from Monday to Friday. Nope, I lied. Monday to Saturday, in the mornings as well as the evenings, and we run two different kinds of prayer meetings. The first is a devotional set, and that's where there'd be just a few musicians on the stage. That's our time to study and pray, and then we have intercession, where we get up and we go for it together, and then there'd be a whole team up there at the front. So those have both been really awesome ways. And currently, we're not running an internship, which has given us room to really have a consecrated season to pursue worship and prayer to the fullest. We have just more time to go for it right now, so we're really doing that, and we're really loving what we're doing. It's really awesome.
We're seeking to establish a missions training center with the furnace, with the hub of it being night and day prayer. What we're really seeking to do is marry missions with prayer. And the Lord's wanted, this is a biblical concept, this is a New Testament concept, and the Lord's wanting to reawaken us in the nations to marry mission with prayer and to let them coexist together and be fueled by one another. And that's what we're seeking to do here in Tauranga. We're seeking to build night and day prayer and then send out anointed messengers into the nations with power and authority with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Started the Tauranga House of Prayer in February 2006, and it is incredible to see where the Lord has taken us from there. From in February, the whole year of 2006, meeting this little small room, this little circular room with just a few singers, no sound system, nobody coming to the prayer meetings. But we were there, the Lord was there, it was awesome, and just powering on, moving forward with the Lord to now where we're, just as Elena said, in a new church where they've just embraced us, they've given us full access to their sound system, their brand new sanctuary. It is just awesome what the Lord is doing. And we had John and Julie Dawson here last week with us. And John and Julie Dawson are the presidents of Youth with a Mission. And they brought a very strong exhortation to us. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Though you feel weak, and there's not very many of you, don't despise the smallness of what you're doing, because it is grand and big in the Lord's eyes. You guys have a rich inheritance here, as you have sent us out. We're an extension of the family of Simple Church, and we just want to bless you. We want to thank you. We want to just say that you have such a rich inheritance here in what we're doing, and we just thank you. We're so grateful for how you've released us. You've sent us out. You've blessed us. You've given of your resources and of your finances. Mm-hmm. You've carried us in your heart. You've prayed for us. We love you.
We love you.
We talk about it all the time. We're like, we love our church. Now, Father, I just ask, I ask for your blessing right now to come to Simple Church. Father, I ask where you, where they have given and sown seeds into the nations and seeds into their community as they've reached out to the communities in Vancouver and as they're seeking to bring the kingdom of God in the lower mainland, in Canada and the nations. God, I ask that you would come and bless 100-fold.
Yes, Lord.
I ask that you would come and fill them. Fill them with the Spirit of God. I ask that there would be a fresh outpouring of the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
I ask that you would come and fascinate their hearts. I ask that you would come and give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. I ask that you would give them the riches of your glory. You would come and open up the heavens over this community of people. God, I ask that you would strengthen their hearts. Come encourage them. I want to ask for dreams and visions. I want to ask for the whole realm of the Spirit just to be opened up with these ones, and that you would come and strengthen them. I ask for each house church. I ask just for your presence to come like never before. I ask that you would come and root them and ground them in love, God. Father, we bless you for these ones. We ask that you would take them to the heights and the depths and the lengths and the widths of love that they haven't known yet. Come and do this, Jesus, for your good pleasure. We ask for your blessing. We ask for your presence to go with them, God. We love you and we bless you, God. We thank you for this beautiful church, this beautiful company of believers that love you. Amen. We're so grateful for you. We love you. Bless you.
I just want to pray just a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing and commissioning over all these things that we've heard so far. And in case I forget one, will you just yell it out so that we get them all in? So, Jesus, we just welcome your Holy Spirit. And we just join you, Jesus, in your voice and in your heart and in your cry that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for evidences toward that reality that indeed, like yeast in a loaf of bread, your kingdom is coming. Your work is happening here and as we've seen around the world. We thank you, Lord, for what you've called us to in the Ukraine, and I know that there are a number of people, even with heritage and heritages in our church, that connect back to the Ukraine. And we thank you, Lord, that for such a time as this, you've called us to participate in the establishing of your kingdom and your good work in the Ukraine. And so we pray, Jesus, that you would go out before us, that you would be the grand banner carrier, that you would lead the way, that you would show us how to serve, what to give, how to pray, when we're supposed to go ourselves. And Lord, for those that are going, Marianne and Ruth, and for the 7 other churches that are following in this team, we pray, Jesus, just for a very rich and a very a dear and anointing of your strength and of your power. And we pray, Lord, that as the fundraising begins to go underway, and I think the dream is $25,000, is that right, Ruth? Yeah, Lord, we pray that that would be met and that it would be exceeded, Lord. We ask right now, God, for people, both those that know you and those that don't know you, Lord, we pray for a loosening of purse strings and a desire, Lord, to bring healing to the nations and to the Ukraine. So we trust you with that. We thank you for the story of this single mom and for the other single moms that meet in the home on the 14th Street. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life and in the life of her family. We thank you that she's come from Russia to be in Canada again for such a time as this. And we pray for your anointing on her. We pray for your blessing in her life, Lord. We pray for education to happen for her. Lord, we pray for a good job and for good work. She's a brilliant woman. And the roadblocks are set up against her at working in Canada. Lord, we pray for a bringing down of those roadblocks, that she could be free to use her gifts and her skills in this country. We pray your blessing on her. And thanks for Winkler, Manitoba, and for the people there that have been involved in both of these stories. And we pray for your blessing upon the churches that are there and every person that meets in your name and that is seeking to build your kingdom there. Lord, we pray for your richest blessing on them. Thank you for their generosity and the partnership in the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for the story of New Hope in Vancouver with these single moms, these teenage moms, and for what you're doing in the Vancouver church and leading them toward this. And we just pray again, Jesus, that you would march out before them and that you would show them the way, that you would give them hearts to serve, hearts to give, hearts to love. And we pray, Lord, for these two women and for those that will come further beyond them, Lord, we pray for healing for them. We pray for restoration. We pray for hope. We pray for your peace. We pray for your shalom. We pray that they would know you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Taryn and for the work of International China Concern. the fact that they're caring for the lowest of the low in Chinese society, and yet they're giving them places of dignity. They're lifting them high up. And that seems a lot like something you would do, Jesus. It's the kind of person that went through Galilee and through Jerusalem and through Israel, and you looked at all those that were cast aside, the prostitutes, the lepers, the women, the children, those that apparently had no access to you, and you said, you come and you be at my Father's table. We thank you, Lord, that your work is still continuing that way, and that you're raising up these children in China. And we pray for your anointing on them and your blessing upon that ministry. Lord, clearly your favor is upon it, and you've been doing incredible things in the last number of years, and we thank you for that, and we pray for an increase. And we thank you, Lord, for Taryn, who is there serving right now. Lord, we pray for your strengthening. We pray for your encouraging. We pray for your equipping. We pray for her eyes to be opened, for her heart to be swelled, for her mind to be strengthened. And we pray, Jesus, that that what comes beyond these 6 months would begin to unfold for her, even now. That she would know what your path is for her. We thank you for Trevor, who's given of his time, and for his brother-in-law, Dave, all people somehow connected to Simple Churches, and we pray for your blessing, and we thank you for their gifts as well. We thank you for Karen, who's caring for HIV children in Zambia. We pray again also just for your anointing on her, for your blessing, for your strengthening, for your equipping, Lord. We pray that all the training that she's used to be a nurse, Lord, and that she's been given by you, Lord, I pray that she would come to see that this isn't just about a job, about a way of making money, but it's a way about bringing healing to the nations. And she's doing that now. And we thank you for that. We pray that the gospel would go forward there. And Lord, we also just thank you for Alana and for Dana, who we know probably even right now are praying for us. We're glad about them, Lord. We're glad to support them. We're glad to give of our finances as a church toward them. We believe that what they're doing is important. We believe that prayer is a significant, in fact, actually the central part of kingdom work. And so we pray just your blessing on them, Lord. We pray that you'd provide for all of their needs. I know that their budget is not fully met, and so we pray that you would provide for all of their needs. Raise up people that have a heart to understand the significance of prayer in the nations. That they're not just sitting around wasting time worshiping and seeking the throne room of God, but in so doing, they're paving the way for your kingdom come. Bless them, Jesus. And we're just glad about what you're doing through us and in us and around us. And we delight, Jesus, in these good stories. And we pray for more. We pray that as we report again next year, maybe at this time, that there'd be further stories and evidences of what you're doing in the world. And more than anything else, Jesus, we just want you to know that we love you and that we exalt you, that we call you our King and our Lord, our God. And we worship you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Now I'm excited about this last part. One of my friends from the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination, Larry Idy, is here, and he has just some words of commissioning and words of blessing to offer us today. And Larry is responsible for church planting in the BC district. And so I get to work alongside of Larry because we're a church plant in that district. And so, Larry, thanks for coming in from Langley, right? And Larry's wife, Diane, is here as well. So, hey, let's welcome Larry, eh? Yeah.
Thanks,
Larry. Thanks,
Larry. Thanks. And wow, what great stories. I hope that what I have to say isn't anticlimactic. These are great stories. And, you know, I was thinking how wonderful a reminder they are that we're part of all part of a greater story, and we all have a significant part in that. And wow. So, you know, my part here today is really just to continue in the flavor of what's been happening and continue in that opportunity to bless you. I'm not going to throw you a big kiss like the girls did, but I would like to pray for you in a few moments. But before I do that, I am so thankful for Andy and Jolie and Simple Church Network. It's really a joy for Diane and I to be here today, to be a part of this. It's obvious that many of you are parents. What a cute bunch of kids you've got here. Wow. And some of you may have kids that are a little older. Maybe they're not here today, and they're older than these little ones we saw. Diane and I have four, all in their 20s, on up to 30 years of age, and they are so different. Yet they love each other. Now, there were times we didn't think that might happen. We thought they might kill each other, but they love each other. But they're so different. And when they're little, like the ones we saw here today, they don't have to get very old before you start to see their personalities developing and things developing that just kind of set them apart. And you can see the differences between them. And, you know, churches are like that. You may not realize that you're part of a district family of churches that are presently about 84 around British Columbia that call themselves the Christian and Missionary Alliance. But you are, and they are so different. And we're so thankful for all that God is doing here at Simple Church and through you here at Simple Church. You know, we're telling stories today, so let me tell you one real quickly just to add to these stories. Another story of God at work, but it comes out of the Bible, and I'll tell you why I'm telling this story. I'm reading currently in 1 Samuel, and I'm really enjoying 1 Samuel. But one of the things that happens in 1 Samuel, chapter 4 through 6, is a really interesting story where the Philistines come up and they invade Israel, and they defeat Israel horribly. And so all of a sudden, the Israelites are standing around saying, you know, oh God, why? You know, why has God forsaken us? Why is this happening? Why have we been defeated? What do we do? And so somebody says, I know, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant up from where it's at. And if you know, the Ark of the Covenant was something that they used to carry around the desert, and in it they put into the Ten Commandments, the tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. And it was a beautiful, beautiful wooden box overlaid with gold, very ornate, carried on two poles that were wooden poles covered with gold. And they would carry these around from place to place. But this was Israel's most holy, holy object. And so somebody had the bright idea that if they brought up the box, that they would have, you know, things would change. Because whoever was thinking this were thinking of it more like a good luck charm, I think, than anything else. But it was like God was in the box. And if they had the box, they had God, and things were going to change. Well, they brought the box up, and things didn't change. In fact, they were defeated again. And in fact, the Philistines took the box home. They took it away. Well, interestingly, where they took it and where they deposited it in their country, God came against them and began to break out in tumors, and they began to have all kinds of problems until finally they're saying, we got to get rid of this box. So what do we do with it? Well, let's send it back. So they build a new cart, and they get a couple of, you know, cows and put them on the front, and they take this cart partway back toward Israel, and then they send it on its way. And the story goes in chapter 5, that as this cart approaches one of these Israelite communities, they see it coming, and they begin to break out in joy and rejoicing because they see the ark is back. And so they take the ark off the cart, and they offer a sacrifice to God, and they put the ark on a rock. And something very interesting happens, in fact, because 70 of them get really curious and decide to peek into the box, and they die. What did they see? I'm not really sure. It doesn't really say. Maybe the tablets were in there, but we know what happened. And I think what they were thinking, again, was that God was in that box. But really what was in the box was intended to remind them of God and to remind them of the relationship that they had with God. Now, why do I share that story? Because I think that all of us, self-included, too many times tend to put God into a box. We tend to think in terms of our God and of our relationship with God and things that just kind of box him in, when really God, and we've seen this today, that God works in so many different ways, in so many different contexts. And that's what's exciting about the church. That's what's exciting about being part of the work of God. And this church is one of those evidences of how God works in so many different ways. And I just want to take this opportunity today to express appreciation to Andy and Jolie in their leadership, and those of you who are leading these house churches, and to all of you as a part of this network. It's a wonderful thing that God is doing. And I remember when I sat down with Andy and with Sig one day, we sat down at a Boston Pizza, and they were just telling me about what was starting to emerge and really kind of informing me, but also seeking the district's blessing. And we've never really had to do much about it except say, wow, praise God, go for it, you know. And, you know, in the variety of ways God works, we were able to do that. But, you know, as a district, we're trying to, in many, many ways, think outside the box, trying to allow God to work outside the box. And so what an easy thing to when something like Simple Church Network comes along to say, man, bless you, because God is at work. And it was obvious from the beginning that he was. And so today I want to bless you. I want to pray a blessing on you. And I want to tell you that you are loved and appreciated by a district of churches. Your story has been shared in different contexts, and you have inspired many without even knowing it. And you know, you may feel like in terms of this district family, you're like distant cousins that never get together or see each other or talk much, but you're part of a family, and we love you and appreciate you. And I wanted to be here today and Andy and I had talked about a time for this, and we've talked about this for a while and what it might look like. And so we finally decided that it would look like this, and it would just be a prayer of blessing. Andy called it a commissioning, if you want to, but just sort of a blessing and asking God to continue to do great things in and through you. And that's what I want to do here today. When you pronounce a blessing, it's really, it's not something that's just a magical set of words. There's no power in the words, but it represents God. God is the one who does the work. And so what I want to do is pray a blessing on you and ask God to do some wonderful things as others already have here today. And you know, when you pronounce a blessing, of course, others have to be willing to receive it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is if you would just stand and in a posture of accepting from God his blessing, would you just hold your hands out to him and pray with me as I lead. Father, the stories that we've heard today are just a small part of what you're doing, but they're an exciting part. Thank you so much for all that we've heard, and we've prayed about those specific stories already, those people involved. And I want to take this opportunity to join in that and to pray for your continued blessing, your continued anointing upon the Simple Church Network. Lord, this network of churches was founded by you for a reason. And I know that you want to continue to bless these people. And I know that you want to continue to bless many, many other people through them. Do it, Lord, do it. And Lord, may just all that's taken place already just be just like the tip of an iceberg. May it just be the beginning of this outpouring of your Spirit upon these people and how you're going to use them in lives here in these surrounding communities and around the world. And I pray for your blessing upon Andy and Jolie. Thank you for them and for their leadership and for their heart. It's been so clear here today. Thank you for these house church leaders. Bless them, I pray, and the groups that meet with them, that every time they gather, there'll be such a sense of your presence. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to put into them not only an excitement about their own faith, but continue putting into them a vision for what you want to do with their lives. And so, Lord, we're just humble people, And we feel so insignificant at times. But, Lord, you love to use insignificant people. And you love to make big deals out of small things. And I'm praying to do that for this network. I'm praying that you'll continue to grow it spiritually, continue to grow it in influence, and continue to be glorified in so many ways. I pray that when they gather again next year to do this, that there'll be so many stories of how you have worked in and through their lives that they won't even have time to share them. So, Lord, bless them and keep them. Make your face to shine upon them. That is, extend your continual presence toward them. Be gracious to them. May you lift up your countenance, your favor, your goodness, your blessing upon them as they continue. And Lord, in all of the days and months ahead, may you grant them your shalom as they continue to move forward the kingdom and not without resistance. And so I pray for this. I pray for them. I pray your blessing upon them. I pray that you will raise up a mightier and mightier work in their midst and through them. And I pray this in the strong name of the Christ we serve. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated.